Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above. The road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi, right here every Friday from 8 until 9 on WFYL, 1180 AM, working for your liberty here in the Philadelphia area. I hope that you will join us every Friday or stream in. If you're on vacation, I know that we have a lot of friends that are streaming in from around the country to catch up on what's happening right here in Pennsylvania and in your family. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about back to school part two. Last week we talked a little bit about back to school. Here we are with some more information about back to school. How can we make the transition from summer months, from those easy, wonderful summer months, laid back, long days? My children went to sleep at 11 or 12 o'clock every night. Now my children are a little bit older. They're 13, 11, and 9. I did not let them stay up that late when they were younger because they would have been melting down the whole entire next day. So I do not recommend that if your children are younger. But now I need to get them back on a schedule. They have their sleep schedule for school. I want to make sure that they get a healthy 9 hours of sleep. I want to make sure that they're eating healthy, healthy foods. We were doing a lot of popsicles and junk food during the summer months. So now we want to get back into all those brain foods, fruits and vegetables. We need to prepare for school and do our best because remember, we are training up little future leaders. Whether it's a future leader, a future mommy and daddy in their house, or they're going to be the future CEO of a company, CEO of a newspaper, whether they're going to be a teacher, nurse, we need to train these kids up. So today, I'd like to touch base with you. I was recently asked to write an article for a publication out here in the Lancaster area called Real Women. And what I talked about in this article is that there's three things that I think are really important for families to do with their children, and that is to pray without ceasing, which we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I personally believe that prayer is the foundation for parenting well. Remember that you only have one time to parent well. You cannot go back and do the year 2011, 2012, 2013 over again. So although we are not going to be perfect, because none of us are perfect, I personally want to parent to the best of my ability and parent well. And I believe that the foundation for that is praying. And remember that when we do pray, we are tapping into a mighty and all-powerful God. And I just want to encourage you to utilize every moment to pray for your children. When I was nursing my children or soothing them back to sleep, I used to pray over them in the wee hours of the morning. Now I find myself being a chauffeur and driving my children to the dentist office, doctor's appointments, piano, tennis lessons, ski lessons. I find myself praying in traffic or praying as we're driving together. Or when I drive past my oldest school building, I actually pray every time I pass her school building. Lord, just protect everyone in that school. Keep them all safe. So get excited about praying for your children. I personally believe that that's the foundation for parenting well. And then training your child. You know, when we look up in the Webster's Dictionary what the word train means, it means to develop or form habits, thoughts, or behavior by discipline and instruction. So the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6 to train a child. So this is something that you are doing to form habits, habitually, discipline, instruction. So you can't do this once a week. You can't do this once a month. You need to be training your children daily, minute by minute sometimes, definitely hour by hour. I can recall a time when I trained my children when they were 1 and 2 years old. When they were able to pull the sheets up on the bed, I taught them that this is what mom expects from you every morning. But guess why they were trained so easily to tidy up their room and to make their bed? It's because I was modeling that for them. And that is my third point. So it's pray without ceasing, train up your child in the way that he should go, and lastly, model for your children what a purpose-filled life looks like. So again, it was easy for my children, and now my kids are 13, 11, and 9. It is so marvelous that their rooms are pretty spotless, and they make their beds every morning. And a funny story about that, actually, and then I'll get back to our last point in the article that I wrote for Real Women, which is a publication out here in Lancaster. But a funny story, we were on vacation with our whole extended family, and my middle daughter, Isabella, loves making beds, and she is super organized. And for quite a few mornings, she was going around not only making her bed, but making my bed, making my parents' bed, and making her aunt's bed every morning. Well, I, of course, went in. I knew it was Isabella, and I said thank you to her, and my parents said thank you. And my sister-in-law, Anne, came to me and said, "Why have you been making my bed every morning, Carla? Like, do you think that I'm sloppy?" And I said, "It wasn't me. It's Isabella." And Isabella was actually wondering, like, if you noticed. And so we got a real chuckle out of that. I would never make anybody else's bed, by the way. I'm training my children to do that, and I do that. But if I walk into your house and your beds are unmade, I will not judge you. That is totally fine. But that's just a funny story about how my sister-in-law thought that I was making her beds in the morning, and really it was my type double A. Isabella, my daughter, was making everybody's beds when we were on vacation, which was so sweet of her. But anyway, training your children is so vital, but modeling for your children. If your children are sloppy and they don't make your bed and you want them to clean their dishes and put the dishes in the dishwasher, I ask you the question, are you doing that? Are you modeling that for them? Another big thing that we model in our house is I think it's really important for our children to have quiet time every morning. We try to have family time together where we memorize scripture or read through Bible verses, but I also think it's really important and vital for my children to have their own quiet time. So they have their little princess Bible that's all rhinestoned out. One of them even has pink feathers all over it. But I encourage them to crack open their Bible, even if it's for a minute. Sometimes it's for 10 or 15 minutes. And again, I hopefully am modeling that for them, and my husband is modeling that for them. And guess what? My parents modeled that for me. The only reason that I probably have quiet time every day and it's important for me and it comes a lot easier for me to do that is because my parents and my grandparents modeled that for me. What a blessing that you can model for your children spending time in the morning, whether it's in meditation, prayer, or just tapping into what the creator of the universe has in store for you for that day. So train your children early. Model to them what you wish for them to do. And another funny story, my dad was over a couple weeks ago, and he forgot his Bible. And so my parents slept over, and he grabbed Isabella's princess purple Bible and was reading it, which was very funny to see. But anyway, he said to me, "Carla, who's highlighting this book?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know," because honestly, I hadn't looked in Isabella's Bible in quite a while. But evidently, Isabella was highlighting things and underlining things in her Bible that were meaningful to her. And when my dad and I looked through it, we both concluded that, wow, she's not just randomly underlining weird things. She's actually underlining meaningful and purposeful things. So my little 11-year-old, and I'm not even sure when she started highlighting, some of it looked like it might have been a couple of years ago, But the Lord is speaking to her when she has her quiet time in the morning. And again, she's probably modeling what she sees me and my husband and her grandparents do, because my Bible is all underlined and I'm writing in the footnotes all the time. So again, if you have opportunity to get that magazine, Real Women, published here in Lancaster, it's an article that I wrote about raising kingdom-minded kids with three purposes: pray without ceasing, train up a child in the way that he should go, and lastly, modeling to your children how you want them to behave. And I pray that today and this whole year, 2014 and 2015, is truly a blessed, blessed year for you in school, and that with prayer, training, and modeling, you will have a great year, whatever you decide to do with your kids, homeschooling, private school, Montessori school, that you would have a very blessed year. The other thing that I'd like to talk about this morning is September 20th. I am chairing the first ever 5K walk for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center in the Reading area. You can go to mercycrisispregnancycenter.org and register there online. We also have a Facebook page, Love and Life 5K. You can go online and register at Facebook as well. And 1180 WFYL, our very own, is sponsoring this event. Isn't it glorious to know that the station that you are listening to sponsors your values and your life calling? So here at 1180 WFYL, you know that we think all life, no matter how small, has purpose and is worth protecting. So 1180 WFYL will be covering and is sponsoring the September 20th Love and Life Walk out in Muhlenberg for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center. So I hope that you will join me there. In fact, I challenge all of you to beat me in the 5K. See if you can get better timing than me. Carla Dedesi here at Your Family Matters. Something else that we need to start thinking about is that about 6 weeks from now, we are going to be voting. Don't forget, mark your calendars. November is election day. And you have about 6 weeks to identify for whom you wish to vote and for whom you wish to elect and give them that honor of voting for them. And in a few minutes, we're going to welcome Gwen Alexander into the studio. She is the voice of Your Voice Matters, which is here every Monday from 8 until 9. And you need to start listening to her show because she is educating the masses here in Pennsylvania on for whom we should vote. She's giving you the candidates and their issues. And you need to start getting acquainted with them. You have 6 weeks, so I recommend you start doing that. I also recommend that if you have not purchased my book, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely, which was written about my little Julia, I have a Julia, and teaching, planting seeds in our children's hearts for what it looks like to vote. How can we get involved with the process? Because I'm telling you that the younger generations are very disillusioned, apathetic. They don't think that their vote counts. They're confused about for whom to vote. They think all politicians are the same. And they're not. So we need to start planting seeds in our future generations, because in 10 short years, my children could be running for office. In 10 short years, my children can be leaders in their school, in their co-ops, in their colleges. Remember, a lot of our founding fathers were 16, 17, 18 years old. They had a purpose and they had a plan. So I encourage you to purchase Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely on Amazon. It is part of Christian Books Distributors. It's on CBD. And read that to your child. It's something that I will also be reading to my children almost every night for the next couple of weeks, asking them different questions. And there's some issues in that book that might create some questions or an appetite, and you can respond to those questions. It's giving you a tool to use to introduce your kids to why we vote for a pro-life candidate, somebody who respects life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why we vote for a candidate who is pro-work and loves to create jobs. It's very simple, fun, super coloring. Kids absolutely adore it, and they're going to ask you to keep reading it to them. So please start reading that and bring it to the polls with you. I brought it to the polls with me and actually ended up leaving it there. All of the people that were working the polls were passing it around. They wanted to read it. It was a huge success at my polls. And I have a lot of people that Facebook me, and they throw up pictures of their children taking their Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely book to the polls with them and going into the, you know, booth and voting. And I love seeing those pictures, and I'm just so thankful that my book is being used in this way. So again, pick up my book, read it to your kids. It's being used as a great resource all around the country to create little leaders in the next few years. So we are going to be introducing Gwen Alexander. This is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi right here every Friday from 8 until 9. Again, you can check us out on Facebook as well. And if you want to follow my book project, because recently I wrote another book, Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely, and this is a book about, a lot of our kids might be confused about the definition of marriage today. So I very biblically just point children to what God's definition of marriage is, which is one man and one woman for life. And again, we just want to encourage that, and we want to give that message, that positive message to our children. So you can follow my Julia books at Julia Learns on Twitter or Julia Learns on Facebook to see all of the newest information that's coming out and all of the latest and greatest books that I recommend for your kids. So again, this is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi right here. I hope that you're streaming in. Remember, the family that prays together stays together.
I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy?
Let's go.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a piece full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Don't let me walk away. Let me give it away.
This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters here in Philadelphia, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty every Friday from 8 until 9. I hope that you'll join us. Stream in. We also are all about social networking, so find us on Facebook at 1180 WFYL, where we always have fabulous opportunities and upcoming speakers, representatives, congresspeople. Today with me, I have Miss Gwen Alexander. Thank you for being with me this morning.
Oh, Carla, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let me introduce you. Gwen Alexander is the executive director of Action PA, Action of Pennsylvania, right here in PA, which their primary vision and purpose is to get candidates with Judeo-Christian values into office and to also educate all of us, educate the masses. And here on Your Family Matters, we are all about families taking culpability and planting seeds in our children's hearts, because they are the future leaders of this country and they are the future voters. So we need to start when they're 5 and 6 years old. So Gwen Alexander actually has her own program right here at 1180, Mondays from 8 until 9, called Your Voice Matters. So it is my prayer and intent that you will tune in to her show every Monday from 8 until 9 or check out her podcast.
Thank you so much, Carla. That's great. I appreciate it.
So, Gwen, tell me, when did you start Action of PA, first of all?
Well, we started, I actually started getting involved in politics in 1994, and it was surprising to me in 94 that when I got involved, there were no Christians to be involved at all. Very, very surprising. And I felt like that was something that needed to be changed. So it took a little while, and we tried one thing and tried another thing, but finally, in 2001, we started Action of PA. So I should go back. We actually started a Chester County action, and it was just for Chester County at that time. We modeled after another county called Lancaster. They had a Lancaster County action, so we met with them. They were very gracious. They gave us their bylaws, and we modeled after them, and we became Chester County Action. Next thing you know, other counties were popping up. And so there happened to be a York County action, and then there was an Adams County action. And we're like, wait a minute. Hey, we're all doing the same thing. Maybe we should merge. And that's what happened just 2 years ago, 2011, I guess it wasn't 2 years ago. It seems like it was just the other day. But anyway, we merged, and we became Action of PA, and now we have separate county chapters.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a law degree? What makes you eligible to do something like this? Or are you just a citizen?
I am a citizen. I was never interested in politics at all. I didn't really even watch the news. When my husband turned on the news and it was all about I kind of walked out of the room. I was not interested.
You and I have a lot in common, because I was never interested in politics either. But I adore this country, and I adore my children. And when I had my first daughter about 13 years ago, I was inspired to just start reading some things. Why are things happening the way? Is this the way things should be happening in the schools, in the community? And really, it was about 2 years ago that, you know, I go out and I knock on doors with my little girls, and we go campaigning together. And I thought, I need to do so much more. So again, I'm a mom just like you. A citizen. And wasn't it Benjamin Franklin that said, you will be able to keep this republic only if you stay involved with it?
Right.
So I'm just so thankful for all that you are doing. And it seems like your community is being blessed greatly. So Action of PA, you really came together in 2011. So tell me, what have you been doing to organize since then? Do you have meetings that we can go to? Do you have representatives, congresspeople, senators that come out and we can ask them questions, kind of like town hall meetings? Do you have a website? Fill us in.
So really, when I started getting involved in politics, what really, really made a big difference to me is when I met my elected officials, when I met candidates. When I met them, they seemed to, I either knew right away that I agreed with them, or that, hey, we're not on the same page here, okay? And so that really, really helped me, and I started trying to figure out, well, how can my neighbors, how can the people that I go to church with, how can these people also get the same opportunity? Because I felt that if they had that same opportunity that I had to meet them, to hear from them, to ask them questions, like you said, Carla, then I think, oh, then they either know that they're going to be driven to the polls, like, I met that guy, whoever it is, John Lawrence, and I can't wait to go vote for him, okay? Or I met somebody else and like, oh, no, I can't vote for him. I've got to vote for his opponent.
That's right.
You know, we have found that the number of Christians that are involved in politics is very, very small. The number of Christians that vote is very, very small.
Isn't it something pathetic, like 24% of Christians get off of their sofa and go and vote? 24%.
The Barack Obama, John McCain election was 23% of Christians. And then again, 4 years later, it came up to 25% of Christians voted. And the reason that they give for not voting, those 75% of Christians that are not voting, they say that they don't have a clear understanding of the candidates or of the issues. Some of them even say there's no difference between the candidates.
I've heard that.
And you know what?
There is a difference.
You know what? I want to say they're crazy. You've got to be kidding. There is a difference.
I always say, do you have a pulse? There's absolutely a difference.
There is, yeah.
And you have to dig for it, or sometimes you don't even have to dig for it. Sometimes I will give information to these people, and they do not want to read it. Because I think something else has been so ingrained in them. And I also think that there's a lie out there, even in the Christian communities, that they don't believe that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. They say, oh, they were agnostics. They don't really believe that God intervened in the affairs of men. And I disagree with
them. Well, then they know nothing about the history of our country. Okay? Absolutely.
Touche.
They really know. We know for sure that God did intervene in the making of our country. So that's her. Now, I have also heard that Christians kind of walk back and say, no, we shouldn't be involved in politics. All we need to do is pray. And here's what I say. How's that working for you? Okay? Does that work for you in your job? You don't need to go to your job because you can just pray and your job gets done?
That's right. You don't need to parent. You don't need to parent. They'll just raise themselves.
Exactly. How about, you know, when you were in school and a test was coming up? Can you just pray that you'll do well in the test and you don't have to study? It doesn't work anywhere. Does the farmer not have to sow his seed? Yes, he does. I mean, so Christians need to be involved, and they need to take their responsibility to God, not only their responsibility in their homes and in their churches, but it has to be in our government, too. We have a Christian responsibility.
Yes. It's everywhere. And if I can just share with you that I read a book by the late James Kennedy called How Would Jesus Vote? Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it to every person that claims that they are a Christian. You should read it. You may not agree with every piece of this, but I'm telling you, you're going to agree with a lot of it. And it has something that addresses what you just shared with us, Gwen, which is a lot of Christians say, I'm just going to pray. I don't need to go out and vote. And the late Dr. James Kennedy actually says that he believes that it is a sin if you do not vote. And this is why. He says that Christ was asked in the New Testament, should we be paying taxes? And he said, yes, you should be paying taxes, right? Remember, he gave them the coin and it had Caesar's face on there. And he said, whose face is on this? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. We should be paying our taxes. Well, what the late James Kennedy says is that here in the United States of America, we have people that died, blood, sweat, and tears. Our founding fathers were revolting against their country. They were thrown in jail. They could have been killed for what they did. We have the great privilege and honor. Our country asks us to vote.
Absolutely.
We are required to vote.
Okay, so I'm just trying to recall this as I'm sitting here. I think that it's James 4:7. I love this Bible verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we, as Christians, we know that we have a responsibility. We must step up and we must do that. You know, if Christians would increase their voting turnout by 20%, not 50%, not 100%, but by 20%, we could take any election in the country.
And so what would that look like for us? Let's paint a picture for our friends out there. Because I always say to my friends who voted for Obama, I say, why are you coming and helping at Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center?
Yeah.
Why are you standing next to me because you just voted for the president who was the most pro-abortive president?
Exactly.
So you just canceled out everything that we're doing here. And that's, I believe, what we're talking about here is that Christians need to get educated. You need to get educated on the votes because if we get 20% more out to vote, we could have people praying again in our capitals.
Yeah. Imagine, I mean, if you think about what the way that our country was 50 years ago, okay, and then what has happened and what it was like 30 years ago and 20 years ago. I have a great quote from Dr. Dobson, and he said, when Christians retreat from the election process, we yield by default to people who can and do promote immoral and destructive behavior. So, I mean, you know, we really need to understand that, and we need to get out there and really be involved. And what action is doing is trying to make it so that it's easy for you to get information on candidates. We're preparing our website for a great comparison piece on the governor candidates. So, and it's so easy because one candidate's pro-life, one candidate's pro-choice. I mean, here you go. Here's the easy. One candidate wants to raise taxes and one candidate wants to not raise taxes. So which one do you want to vote for? It's a great piece that you can even put in your church because it doesn't say, oh, we want you to vote for this person or you need to make sure you vote for somebody. No, it's just a comparison. Just telling you where they stand on the issues. Can I just put a little plug in if you want to get information about that? We don't have that up on our website, but we will. If you want to, you can contact me at info@actionofpa.org, and I'll make sure that you get some of those
okay.
for your church.
And let me share with our listeners that certainly getting involved with the process of voting does have a lot of gray area. I mean, we know that Governor Corbett recently signed the same-sex marriage bill, right?
No.
Oh, I thought that he let that go through and he wasn't going
to
appeal.
He did not appeal. There was a couple that wanted, and Governor Corbett went through the law process, of course, and they took that to court, and the court said no, that the same-sex marriage was approved, okay? So after that judge made that decision, then it would be up to the governor to say, are we going to appeal that, or are we going to just accept that ruling from that judge? And the governor said, at this point, we're going to accept that ruling from that judge. If you look at every other state around us, all the states in the Northeast, they all have some kind of same-sex marriage. And so it's very, very unlikely that if the governor had appealed that ruling, that the decision would have been different.
Okay. But my point in just bringing this up is that when we as believers and people of faith hear or read something like that, it makes us confused. I mean,
exactly.
I was just confused right here when I asked you the question.
Exactly.
And I still like our governor.
We are not always going to agree 100%. You know, I don't even agree with my husband 100% of the time.
I love that guy.
Right. I love that guy. He's wonderful. I couldn't have a better husband. But I don't agree with him 100% of the time. And I'm not going to agree with, listen, if I were the governor, I would have appealed. That's what I would have done. If I were the governor, I would have appealed that. Just knowing, you know what? My God can do anything, right? So knowing that, but the governor kind of took into consideration a lot of different things. And are we going to be able to win this appeal? How much time and how much money is going to be? So he looked at it from a different angle. So no, do I agree with him? Would I have done the same thing? No. But, you know, we've got to look at the different candidates and where they stand on issues and where do you agree with or align with which candidate the most.
Gwen, what do you say to all the Christians that said, we're not going to vote for Romney because he's Mormon?
I say, first of all, we're not electing a religious leader, okay? And then second of all, let's look at the issues. Where does he stand on the issues? And where has he stood on the issues? So to me, that would be a more important thing. So
what do you say to my friends that say, we don't like either of the candidates, so we wrote our candidate's name on the ballot?
Yeah, yeah. You know, year after year, that continues to go on, that we get votes for Mickey Mouse and we get votes for Donald Duck. And
their votes actually not being counted.
Yeah, it's so silly.
They're not really voting.
It's really, really silly. Those votes do get counted. I mean, the election board, they have to count them, and they have to count those write-in votes in a certain way.
So Mickey Mouse might get 10 votes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I just think you're just throwing your vote away.
That's
and
right.
It's really, really silly to do something like that. You need to spend a little bit more time analyzing both candidates, or whether there's two or three candidates. You need to find the best of, maybe you'll say, the worst. best. I don't know.
But again, there's so many websites out there, like your website, Action of PA. There's also the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Yep.
We also have RedeemTheVote.com.
Yep.
It is not difficult,
right,
to weigh in to what the Democrats, Independents, Republicans, for what they stand. It's actually quite easy. You know, instead of spending an hour on Facebook today, take 15 minutes and go to one of these sites
and
identify.
And that 15 minutes is worth so much. You know, some people just say, oh, does my vote really count? Well, think about this. You know, one half vote average per precinct in 1960 gave John Kennedy the victory over Richard Nixon. One vote or less per precinct decided the Averell Harriman's gubernatorial election in 1954, George McGovern's senatorial campaign in 1960, and John Warner's Senate race. Now, let's get a little bit local. In 1972, Joe Pitts won by 16 votes. What does that mean? That means if eight people had changed their minds, Joe Pitts would still be a teacher. And Joe Pitts is one of the best advocates that we have in Congress. I also know that a friend of mine ran for the county committee, and she won by one vote. So guess what happened? They had a recount. You have to pay for a recount. And if you don't pay for it, then the other person gets it by default.
Listen, so, I'm going to put a plug in here because my husband and I are actually having a fundraiser for Joe Pitts.
Are
October
you?
4th.
Aww.
So get in touch with the station if you're able to come to Why I'm Missing, October 4th. We can give you the information on that fundraiser.
Ask him about that election in 72 that he won by 8 votes.
I will.
Absolutely, yeah. But I can give you story after story about how one vote counted. We had a woman who ran for county committee. They even contested the they recounted. She still won by one vote. And then she went on to vote for an area chair, and there was a tie, and it was her vote. It was her vote that made a difference. I can't tell you how many one vote count stories I have.
So I hope that you hear the message that your vote counts big. Let me ask you another question, Gwen, that I hear all the time when I'm discussing. And listen, I think that I'm in conservative circles, mm-hmm. and these are things that people ask me. Recently, a woman said to me, I vote Democrat because I think that they help the poor people. And I'll tell you what I said to her. I said that I think that you have a wrong perspective on helping poor people. Number one, I do not think that it is the government's role to take care of poor people. I believe it's God's role, the church's role, and the family's role to take care of poor people. Number two, I do not think it's loving and kind to give a handout and suppress generations on their handouts. Yep. I think it's loving to say, we want you to become a teacher. We want you to become a nurse. We want you to own your own business. We want you to own your own business so that you can hire 20 employees.
Absolutely.
That is what I think is loving.
Yeah.
Now, how would you respond to the person, because I hear that all the time, that we vote for big government because we think that's loving.
Okay. So the government was never set up. If you look at our government, we were never set up to help the poor. That was not to feed the poor, to clothe the poor. That was not the job of our government. Our government was set up really with biblical values, okay? But the church, and there were charities that helped the poor, and they really helped the poor in a way not to suppress them, like you say, okay, but to help them up and let me get you a suit for that interview, okay, so that you can get a good job and you can prosper and take care of your own family, okay? That was really the way the government was set up. It's changing.
Okay, so then you would agree that the kind and loving thing to do is encourage work. And that's the biblical thing to do, is to encourage work. And even in the Old Testament, we had Ruth when she was gleaning in the fields. They were set up, God had set up for them that the poor people would get the leftovers, right, when they were gleaning in the field.
Sure.
So again, God set up, not the government, God set up in his community for his people to take care of their own, which I believe is what the church should be doing today. And I think that we've abdicated that. I think that the church and families have abdicated that responsibility.
Certainly. I think about that. I mean, when I was growing up, I got a lot of gray hair here, Carla. And when I was growing up, I don't remember. Every church that I knew of had some kind of soup kitchen mm-hmm. or some kind of reach out to the poor. And year after year, there's less and less and less and less churches that are involved in reaching out to the poor because they'd rather go somewhere that maybe they don't have to listen to a sermon or, mm-hmm. They don't have to sit down and pray with somebody or whatever. So that less and less churches are involved in helping and reaching out to the poor.
Okay, let's change gears for a minute and go over to Your Voice Matters. We've talked a lot about Your Vote Matters. So on Your Voice Matters, share with us some opportunities. What can we be tuning into? I assume it's a lot more of what we've just been talking about. What else can we hear on Monday mornings when we tune in?
Okay, the goal of Your Voice Matters is to give you information so that you can take that next step and make your voice matters. Okay, so when we talk about 23% of Christians voted in the Barack Obama election, so we're having 70-some percent of people not voting. Okay, and they're saying that they don't have the information. So that's what we're trying to do. Now, I do think that it's a little bit easier to get information on federal issues, what's going on in Washington, okay? You can listen to WFYL all day long about federal issues. But what's going on in Harrisburg? So I interview elected officials, prominent people from Pennsylvania, and we talk about issues that are going on in Pennsylvania so that you know where they are. Where are they on pension reform? What have they done on pension reform? And, some of these issues we talked about an abortion bill that required the abortion clinics to come up to a medical standard. I mean, the Gosnell Clinic was such a travesty. If this bill stays, now you realize that Tom Wolf has promised to rescind every abortion bill that's passed in the last 4 years. So if
I
he
want
gets
you to
be,
say that again for our listeners.
Okay,
so Tom Wolf
Corbett
is running against. Go ahead.
So Tom Corbett signed a bill that required abortion clinics to adhere to a medical standard. Okay, just
and
like a regular
clinic. Loving
clinic
to our women.
Absolutely.
This is loving to our women. It's going to keep them safe.
The Gosnell Clinic situation was a horrible thing. There was no inspections. Women died. Babies died. I mean, it was just horrible.
It was a rape of women.
It was. So, but with this bill that Tom Corbett passed, it will never happen again. But Tom Wolf has promised to rescind every abortion bill that passed under the Corbett administration. He's going to take that medical requirement away so that we can again go back to the travesty of a Gosnell Clinic.
Okay.
Now, to me,
so he's not protecting women. He's not a friend of women.
I agree. Absolutely.
Okay,
so
we need to be aware of that.
So this kind of information, this is what people need to know about what's going on in Harrisburg. Because, number one, what goes on in Harrisburg affects us so much. I mean, really, when you think about the Constitution gave some rights to the federal government, but a lot more rights to the
absolutely
state.
Absolutely. Well, we have our own Pennsylvania Constitution.
Absolutely.
We should have a lot more sovereignty than we have.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we used to have a lot more sovereignty, and now the federal government is getting its claws in everything.
Yeah.
And that was never what our founding fathers had intended.
Right. So we talk on Your Voice Matters. We talk about issues that are going on in Pennsylvania with prominent Pennsylvanians. Most of them, we had the governor on, and he spoke about some of the issues that were going on in Pennsylvania, and we've had legislators, and we have a regular, Paul Kenger is on a regular basis, so
remind
all of this.
Remind us who Paul Kenger is. He's out of Grove City.
He's out of Grove City, and he has a think tank called, Vision and values. Thank you, Corinne. Yes, I almost lost it there. So, yeah. So he's great. And the last program that we did with Paul Kenger was really interesting because we did a comparison between Ronald Reagan and Tom Corbett. That was really a great program. I enjoyed that. That was so much fun. So, so we just try to get you the information. So while you're wherever, while you're at home, you can have the radio on, or while you're in the car, you have the radio on, and you're getting fed information about what's going on in Pennsylvania. I think that's so important. And then, you know.
And I always say that we have a responsibility to our backyard first.
Yes.
In our community first. And then go out to the rest of the world. But let's make Pennsylvania great. Let's make our state a model for all of the other states. A model on decreased, you know, unemployment. A model of people coming to our state because they want jobs. There's opportunity here. Let's make it a safe haven for women who want to have their babies and choose life. I mean, we all know the statistics in Ireland where abortion is illegal. The mortality rates of women who are having their babies, it's very, 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 very low. Very low. So we can shoot out all of this research and all these statistics to you, but your show that is on every Monday from 8 until 9, Your Voice Matters, is so vital to us at this time because it's a busy, busy day in which we live.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, it is a challenge for me to learn that I have two representatives, and who are they? And I have this many congresspeople, and who are they? And I have this many senators, and, oh, what's my district? It's really difficult to keep track of. I mean, you almost need to have a whole timeline going on.
Exactly. And here's the thing at Action, okay? We really try to stress. Now, this year, is it like the statewide election? We're going to be voting for state representatives. We vote for Congress. We vote for our governor. So this year is statewide. Yeah, think about next year. Next year's the local election, okay? And we really try to emphasize the importance of your local election. When you're voting for township supervisors, you're voting for school board members, you're voting for a county commissioner, a county sheriff, all of those things are so important. And why do you think that they're important? Number one, a township supervisor is going to determine what happens in your backyard, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's really, really important. School boards, they have more authority over your taxes than anybody else, okay? So if that's not important enough, here's what I really want you to know. Where do you think the next congressman is?
It could be in my house. It could be my daughter.
He's probably a township supervisor. He's probably on the school board. He's probably a county commissioner. And our next president is going to come from the Congress or from our as a governor or whatever. So that is really, really important because once they get this kind of foothold and they become a township supervisor, oh, you know, he was pretty good township supervisor. I guess we're going to vote. Oh, you know. So you vote for this guy and over and over and over again because he's got this foothold. Let's examine these people before they get to be the township supervisor, before they get to be the commissioner or on the school board. That's so key.
It's a vital point, and I didn't think about that. Again, I am thinking about future leaders, the little 5-, 6-, 10-year-olds in our houses, but you're absolutely correct that these people that are holding positions right now, whether it's on the school board or as commissioner, they're probably grooming themselves or their parties are grooming themselves
exactly
to be higher up in leadership.
Absolutely.
In our
I mean, I know for sure when a vacancy occurs, let's say a congressman decides to retire or whatever, you know, people are going to look around. Well, who is a township supervisor? Who is a county commissioner? Where are they? Who can take this position? I mean, they're not looking necessarily in my home for who's there. So they're looking at who's already been an elected official and, you know, how'd they get elected? Was it a close election or was it a landslide?
All right. So, again, we can get in touch with you at actionofpa.org or
yes.
Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
We can probably Google Gwen Alexander.
Yes,
and
you,
and
sure you
all
can.
Of this will also come up. And we can also tune in to your show every Monday to learn about what's happening. And I just want to urge our listeners that the election is coming up in November, so I would recommend that you start listening this Monday, and all of Gwen's past interviews can be found at 1180WFYL right. at our podcast.
Absolutely.
Is there any last lessons or charges that you would like to give to us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing that we want to do is we want to have an action chapter in every county in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, even if you are in a county where there's not an action chapter, again, contact me, info@actionofpa.org. I would love to talk to you. It's very important that we get information out to voters so that they know about these candidates. And like I was just talking about, even about local candidates. That's important to us.
Okay, so let me just reiterate. Your goal is that you'd like to see a chapter for Action of PA in every county across Pennsylvania.
Correct.
How many counties are there in Pennsylvania? I should know that, but I don't.
You know what? I should, too. I think it's 65.
Fine.
66.
And about
like
how
that,
many
yeah.
chapters do you have right now?
We have about six, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we love challenges here
yes.
at WFYL. It gives us something to wake up to do every morning. So certainly, if you want to be a chapter leader in your area, is there one in Berks County?
No, there is not.
And why don't you tell us the six? Where are they now so that we can get hooked up with you?
Certainly.
Or we can start?
Well, certainly there's Chester County and Lancaster County and York County, Adams County, and Cumberland County, and sometimes Northumberland, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And I think it's important that we understand that if we were able to have an Action of PA chapter in all 65 of our counties about, then our voice is so much larger.
Right.
And we do have more power with our leaders in Harrisburg.
Yes, absolutely. I will say this. We have a great relationship with some people in the Pennsylvania Southwest, and they haven't quite opened up a chapter there, but they distribute our literature. We have this comparison we're talking about with the governor candidates.
What would it entail to start a chapter? Do we have meetings once a month?
You know what? We have a whole book that is just like a little bit of a guide. This is the best thing to do. And step number one says this, have a meeting. And then step number two is as very, very,
okay.
It's very, very practical guide to help you open up a chapter.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Gwen Alexander, here with Your Voice Matters, 8 to 9 every Monday. However, this is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters, which is every Friday from 8 until 9. It's my prayer that you'll tune in to both of our shows, and actually all of the fabulous shows here at 1180 WFYL, that you will stay informed and that you will continue to educate those little ones in your house, knowing that they are the future leaders of the United States of America and right here in Pennsylvania.